Today on The Journey with Steve DeWitt, a lesson on redeeming loneliness.
Fred, I want you to realize overcoming loneliness has nothing to do with you finding someone to address that loneliness. We must lose ourselves to gain ourselves. We must give up ourselves by giving ourselves, listen, to meet the relational, spiritual needs of other people.
Whether it's the ache of being misunderstood, or the sadness of losing a loved one, or just that deep inner longing for connection, loneliness can be a heavy burden to bear. But today on The Journey, Pastor Steve DeWitt explains how the gospel provides the ultimate answer to loneliness. Then later on, you'll hear about a practical resource on this very relevant topic. You can learn more at thejourney.fm. Now, is there a way loneliness can guide you toward true fulfillment? Well, let's find out as Pastor Steve concludes his message titled, Loneliness.
How do we turn loneliness into a friend? We do so, first and foremost, by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to Colossians 1. And through him, that is Christ, to reconcile to himself, that is God, all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, and really lonely while doing it, I'll add that, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. So what we see here is a description that if alienation from God is what we feel in our sin, reconciliation with God is what we have and feel on the other side of trusting in Jesus Christ. It is the restoration of what was lost in Genesis 3. Sin stole God from us. Jesus gives God back to us. We are reconciled to him. This is why Paul calls it a ministry of reconciliation. Human beings, sinners, reconciled with our Creator God. And this happens as we, as sinners, place our personal trust in Jesus Christ, in what he did, dying on the cross for our sins, raised on the third day, conquering death. The promise is when we respond in faith and trust and truly believe, we repent of our sins and we turn in faith to Jesus Christ, that we get God back. We have that relationship back, and he is ours forever. Now, most people, when they think about loneliness, they think about it in horizontal terms, not the vertical. And they think to themselves, well, you know, if so-and-so didn't reject me, I wouldn't feel this way. Or if I had a BFF, I wouldn't feel this way. Or if I had a spouse, or I had a child, or I had a bowling team, I wouldn't feel this way. And all these relationships, horizontal, are super important, and we're going to get to these in a moment. But you have to start with the vertical. It has to begin with objective peace with God and a reconciliation with our Creator. If you want to overcome loneliness, it means death to you, okay? Death to self. In our loneliness, our instinct is to ask, who is there that can fill the void that I have inside? I need somebody to meet my needs. And what I want you to realize is it doesn't work that way. And as long as you have a mentality that there is somebody out here who is going to be uniquely designed to meet my needs so my loneliness goes away, you are entrenching loneliness for the rest of your life. Friend, I want you to realize overcoming loneliness has nothing to do with you finding someone to address that loneliness. We must lose ourselves to gain ourselves. We must give up ourselves by giving ourselves, listen, to meet the relational, spiritual needs of other people. And when we invert our natural desire to be loved and choose to love and serve others, key point, the love of God through us mitigates the loneliness in us. So here's what I'm saying. We will never be completely rid of loneliness this side of heaven. I don't care who you're married to, how wonderful they are, how many friends you have. We live in a broken world. It's not yet redeemed. Creation is groaning and we groan with it. And loneliness is one of the ways that we groan with it. Now, if you're here looking to gain, good luck with that. But if you're here looking to lose yourself in the joy of others, to try to meet their relational needs, well, then you're on a path to mitigate the loneliness. Do that, and God will diminish it in you. So I would encourage you to, maybe you're like, I don't know. Try it. Have a little season in your life where you purposely focus on meeting the needs of others. Do that for a while, and I'm going to predict after a while you're going to go, where did my loneliness go? I can't find it anymore. That's how it works. Another author says this, when we feel lonely, we have such a need to be liked and loved that we are hypersensitive to the many signals in our environment and easily become hostile toward anyone whom we perceive is rejecting us. Once we have given up our desire to be fully fulfilled, we can offer emptiness to others. Once we have become poor, we can be a good host. Poverty is the inner disposition that allows us to take away our defenses and convert our enemies into friends. We can perceive the stranger as an enemy only as long as we have something to defend. But when we say, please enter, my house is your house, my joy is your joy, my sadness is your sadness, and my life is your life, we have nothing to defend since we have nothing to lose but all to give. And that's a nice segue to the third step here. And that is, we live the gospel with a kind of heart hospitality to other people. Let me remind you from Philippians 2, Paul writes this, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. What the Apostle Paul does here is he holds out the model of Jesus' own life in ministry and says, you want to know what it means to be a Christian? We follow that same paradigm of what Jesus himself did, in particular, in humbling himself. We think about Jesus. How does Jesus welcome us into his family? He does it by hanging on a cross, bloodied, presumably naked, completely empty. This is Jesus in his weakness, in his most naturally, visually awkward weakness. He offers himself to us. Jesus' weakness is the welcome mat to his heart. Come to my cross. Come to my heart. Come to me. In a verse that has profound implications for Christian loneliness, Romans 15:7, therefore welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Friend, if you look around here, even in this room, all these people here, okay, some you know, maybe many you don't. If you look around and do so with the eyes of Jesus, every person, Lord willing, that you saw taking communion earlier in this service is somebody that Jesus has welcomed into his heart, that Jesus himself died for. And if Christ's heart welcomed them, How open should your heart and my heart be to these same people? Here's why I say it, is we tend in our relationships to want people who are a lot like us. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the best friend of them all? Somebody just as wonderful as me. And we have all these grids that we sort of evaluate people through to see if there's somebody that maybe I'd like to be a friend with. We want somebody who's in a similar life stage maybe, or similar family status, or similar interests or hobbies, or similar economic status. And on, we have these filters, and we pass all these people through these filters, and who gets through them all? Not very many people. Not very many people are just like me. And then we conclude, man, this is an unfriendly church. And what happens is these relationships that God intends to be life-giving to us, we stumble because we are afraid. Relationships require vulnerability with other people. Many years ago, I was out with a dude in the church, and I had been getting, or actually, it was just starting to get to know him, but I sensed in our time together that this is somebody that I'd like to see this move forward. And I took a deep breath and I said, I think I'd like to be friends with you. And to this day, that relationship is one of the most meaningful human relationships that I have. I chose to be vulnerable and it moved it along. And this is what's required. It takes a kind of heart hospitality to open ourselves up to other people. I think there's too many of us that we project a self-sufficiency. Oh, hey, nice to meet you. I got plenty of friends. And we kind of turn people away because we're afraid that they might discover that we don't have any friends. Did you know many of the studies of men in particular in Western society and in the U.S., they can't point to one close friend in their life. I wonder how much that's true of the men in this room as one example. And why is that? In part, it's because the kind of vulnerability and humility out of which relationships grow can be challenging for we men. But I would say to you, this shouldn't be in the church, of all places, okay? It shouldn't be in the church, because to be in the church is to be vulnerable about your most embarrassing thing. And that is that I am truly a sinner in the eyes of God. I'm baptized telling everybody I am a sinner and I need Jesus. To be a part of the church, we're all acknowledging that we can't save ourselves, that we need a Savior, and his name is Jesus. Jesus calls this being poor in spirit. Remember, blessed are the poor in spirit, okay? The poor in spirit are blessed with a wide array of friends because nobody is beneath them and nobody is beyond them. They come at relationships poor in spirit. And I wonder if, as I'm talking here today, if it's connecting with you, might it be one reason that you are feeling maybe profound human loneliness is because you are not poor in spirit, you're rich in spirit. You're too exalted in your own eyes. You're too concerned about friends being just like you, and it hinders natural friendship. So I'm urging here a hospitality of the heart, an openness and an eagerness to engage with other people through the means of gospel humility. And I just think there's so many people that are missing out on the blessing of human relationships and specifically fellow Christian relationships. Listen to this author. So I begin to ask this question, a good question. What does it look like to welcome people into my humility rather than into my standard of excellence? The playroom may not be tidy. Our kids who are lovely and enjoyable may become noisy and cranky around 7 p.m. Dinners may be sponsored entirely by Trader Joe's frozen section rather than a handmade Jamie Oliver recipe. But why would I withhold an invitation simply because I can't make dinner from scratch? There's another author that calls this radical ordinary hospitality. When we project a kind of near perfection of hearth and home, it actually is a barrier to people because they think to themselves, I can't relate to that. And yet we work so hard. We don't want people to see that side of us. We want them to think that we have it all together. None of us have it all together. If I went to your house right now, 99% of you would be embarrassed. We need time to know that you're coming. And you know what? The DeWitts do as well. People come to our house and, you know, it's cleaned up and they're like, oh, you know, it's all straightened up. Like, we knew you were coming. That's a big help. But it's not just the, you know, the hearth and home. It's our vibe, right? Where we want to project strength. How are you? Good. Awesome. Never been better. How do those conversations go? Blah, blah, blah. When we say, rough week, dude. I could use some prayer. Now we lean in. Because people can't relate to our strengths. They relate to our weaknesses. They relate to our mess. They relate to the real us. So if you want friendship, let people into the truth of your life, the awkward stuff, the hard stuff, the messy stuff, and watch friendship blossom. It is losing as a means of gaining. Now, how does this happen in a local church? Okay? In a healthy local church, the way this happens is when we gather together with authenticity and with hearts opened, with hospitality. We are ready to meet each other's needs in whatever way we are. When we gather together, that's a healthy thing. And the Bible says that if we don't prioritize that experience, that it is actually detrimental to our faith. Hebrews 10, verse 24, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And I want to say this clearly, it's my best opportunity to do it. Christian relationships are essential to your faith. It is essential to you making and persevering to the end. The whole point of Hebrews is about all these people that were walking away from the faith. How do we persevere in the faith? One critical way is we do it together. We belong together. We encourage one another together. And Christians who understand that will prioritize the gathering together, as if my faith in eternity depends on it. Now, I say this in a day where all the studies indicate that in American evangelical Christianity, people are going to church way less. Way less. And even the people that go to church are going to church less often. And then you have the entire population, it's a lot of people now, who for them, their expression is online church. And I say this, I know right here, I got many of you online, and I say this in love. I want to do the very best for you. But as one person has said, online church is a tool, not a goal. Okay, it's a tool, not a goal. And the longer you remain online for no good reason, the more you are seeing it as a goal rather than a tool. And I am urging our church to gather. We desperately need it, and to gather regularly. I mean, I can't speak for all the other churches and Christians and all that, and I'm not responsible for them. I don't give an account to Jesus for them, but I do give an account for this flock. And so I am speaking the truth in love here, because I'm going to give an account to the great shepherd someday, and I urge you to heed the words that I am saying today. The Bible urges hospitable Christian gatherings. Here's the last point. If the other ones don't work, and they will, but if they don't, we Christians, we have a nuclear option in the war on loneliness. And that nuclear option is having Christ. When all else fails, when everybody in our life fails, when everything's a disappointment, when nobody has hard hospitality around us, our weapon is to realize that we are maximally known and loved by Christ. And so, Christian, I want you to know today, you may not have a spouse, but you have Christ. You may be separated from family and loved ones, but you have Christ. You may be a widow here today, but you have Christ. You may be rejected by spouse or friend, divorce or whatever, but you have Christ. And since you and I were made for Him, having Him is a guarantee that someday I won't feel lonely ever again. So our ultimate hope here is not in a new relationship, in a new spouse or boyfriend or girlfriend or romance. Our hope must be in the full realization of who we already have. And in our desperate loneliness, to remind our soul that the Lord is there and He is with me and He is a faithful guide through the valley of death and loneliness. And I just say, we should, you know, there's a side of this that sort of like Ecclesiastes points out, that when we have these longings that are not fulfilled and these desires that are not met in this world, there's a kind of way to look at it where we go, yes, I'm so glad that they're not, because it reminds me that I was made for something far more and better. There's no human relationship that will satisfy that longing in my heart. And yet God comes along and says, at my right hand are pleasures forevermore, Psalm 16:11. That someday all of this kind of inner ache and longing and anguish will be done. And yet it is a confirmation on this earth that our greatest relational joys and fulfillment lie ahead of us. To say it this way, absence should make the heart look forward. Now, that doesn't eliminate pain and loneliness and isolation and things in this life, but it does assure us that all of this is a part of a world whose desires are passing away. Your future, Christian, is completely free of loneliness. So the next time loneliness shows up, friend, thank God that your loneliness reminds you of the glory of what lies ahead for you with Him. And in this way, loneliness can be a friend, a guide for your soul to find its rest in Him. To Him be the glory. Amen.
You're listening to The Journey with Steve DeWitt and the conclusion of a series titled Loneliness. If you're just tuning in or you'd like to revisit this series, you'll find every message online at thejourney.fm. While you're there, you'll also find information about a brand new book on this topic from Pastor Steve. Steve, could you share with us more about the book and what motivated you to address the topic of loneliness?
You know, many, many people today struggle with profound feelings of loneliness. And sometimes in the midst of our loneliness, we can wonder if it's always going to be this way. Well, I can assure you there is a way out of loneliness. In fact, it doesn't have to be an enemy. It can be a guide and a friend to us. That's why I wrote Loneliness, Don't Hate It or Waste It, Redeem It. This book addresses the pervasive ache of loneliness from my own story and from my own pastoral viewpoint. I address topics that affect us and can cause loneliness, as well as cures for loneliness. So we talk about the gospel, we talk about loneliness and marital status, loneliness and leadership, and really tips on how to turn our loneliness into a blessing in our life. So if you're struggling with loneliness or maybe just curious how to navigate this complex emotion, I invite you to request a copy of this book. Together, let's explore how loneliness can be understood, redeemed, and ultimately overcome.
Thanks, Steve. You can request your copy of Steve's new book, Loneliness, when you give a gift of any amount to The Journey. Just call 844-7-JOURNEY. That's 844-756-8763, or give online at thejourney.fm. I'm your host, Tim Svoboda. Come back tomorrow when Pastor Steve begins a new series called Purity First. That's Tuesday on The Journey. Today's program was produced and furnished by Bethel Church in Crown Point, Indiana.